morning, all you KNS listeners. How you guys doing today? Ah, man, I am fired up and ready to go, and I am glad to be back in the shop with you. So, as many of you guys know, I am your host, Bud Wiry, and let's get this thing going. So, I want to start out just, you know, for those that are always the numbers guys, they like the little something more to hold on to. I think you guys are going to really like this show today. We got a little more of that to crunch. And, you know, we get both kinds of feedback. You know, there's some people that they really like it when you got the show that has just a lot of information. And then you have the other type of people that to like to hear, you know, when you get all energized and you really go off on these topics. And they can feel the you know, the same energy that they also have. But before I get into all of our actual show, you know, I want to talk about, and we've brought this up several times on the show, you know, how you need to be a fighter. You know, you got to get out there in your community and stand up for the things that you believe. And, you know, I think that the Greek philosopher Heraclitus said it very well when he said, out of every 100 men, 10 shouldn't be there. 80 are just targets. 9 are the real fighters, and we are lucky to have them, for they make the battle. Ah, but the one. One is a warrior, and he will bring the others back. And you know, we all know who these people are in our community. We see them out there, and they're the ones that are engaging and trying to do this stuff to you know, to further their causes, no matter what it is. I mean, they're the leaders of your 4-H groups. They're the leader of your church groups. They're all over the place. But this really brings me back to one of the fighters in our community that has really been instrumental in, you know, the wind and solar group fight that we had last year. But on October 7th, 2024, the Lord called back Stacy Sutphin, and she was one of those warriors in the community. She was one of those leaders that did so much for those that are around her. And like, I've only met Stacy a couple times and only talked to her briefly a couple times, but we shared many of the same fights and the same energy on some of these projects. So I very much felt like I got to know her, and it absolutely breaks my heart to hear of her passing and the tragic accident that she had. My heart goes out to her family, her friends, all the people in our community that cared about Stacy. And I just want to take that minute to, you know, tip the hat a little bit into one last time to say thank you to Stacy Sutphin. Oh, and if anybody feels compelled to send flowers, in lieu of flowers, you may make a donation in her honor to the Advancetown Park at Friends of Advancetown Park, P.O. Box 27, Advance, Indiana, 46102. Or PayPal, Friends of Advance Park, Inc., @gmail.com. So now moving on into a happier topic. So the Meadows on Main that we brought up in last week's show, which is the apartment complex over there in Whitestown. I've been looking into a little more, and I had a friend of mine over that way send me a little more information on that. And so I want to put this in perspective a little better. So at the Worth Township Advisory Board meeting that was on 9/12/24, the trustee Jim Baldwin, they were making a request for some more money for him because of how much more assistance is being asked of the trustees. So they wanted to move the trustee Jim Baldwin, his salary from $15,000 a year, which, you know, it's just a part time. And but before, there was only, they were only giving out about $40,000 a year in assistance 2 years ago. But now that number's pushed in 2 years to $120,000. So they were wanting to move Jim Baldwin's salary from $15,000 to $25,000. And that was approved because he's doing all this extra work, because you went from, you know, a rationing out $40,000 worth of assistance to now $120,000 a year in assistance. And here comes the incoming shocking numbers, guys. You want to know why it went from that 2 years ago? This Meadows on Main apartment complex there in Whitestown accounts for 57% of the trustees' budget. Hear that again, guys. This Meadows of Main apartment complex accounts for 57% of the budget from the township's assistance, equaling $46,000. Those numbers are staggering. So you had one government-assisted apartment complex come in, and look at that. So these are some of the hidden things and the hidden fees associated with this stuff that doesn't get a lot of attention. And when I'm talking to some of my friends out that way, and we're going over that, these guys are out there, they're trying. You know, they're reaching out, and they're working with this apartment complex, and they're trying to build ideas. And it's not that everybody's just completely sitting on their thumb. I mean, people are trying, but by what I hear, there's a lot of roadblocks in front of them. You know, there's a lot of regulations and a lot of red tape, and the government set up a whole laundry list of protections. That way, things like this can continue to harm a community. But so we've just said that brought that up, and now that this one apartment thing that does 57%. And you know, I was wanting to reach out, and like I was telling you, they were working on it because I was wanting to brainstorm some ideas because I'm a solutions guy. I really hate talking about stuff if I have nothing to offer is like something that you could do to try to change it, whether that's an outside the box thought or at least start to work towards something. And that's why I keep putting out to you guys about engaging me and the community on the Facebook page that the shop has. And I really invite you to come join the shop's Facebook page because I believe all the way to my core that it's everybody working together to solve these problems is where we're going to get this. But so I was reaching out and I was saying things like maybe if there's somebody that's really affected over that way, maybe they might consider, you know, starting a Facebook page just for this community. That way that stuff can get chronicled, which will allow some of us who share and push information around to be able to, you know, it's all about getting more light on it. Because if we're ever going to try to pressure the government or pressure anybody else to make movement, it's this light that really makes people get a little more motivated, I guess you would say. Because when everything was getting ignored, and I think that goes for a lot of people, if you can just ignore a problem away, you're going to do it. And I don't think our government's a whole lot different than that. If they can just ignore a problem away, that's the road they generally go down. And I've heard people ask me before, like, they're talking about, well, should I send my representative an email? And I've kind of talked about this before, even on the show. I believe that's really just a place for your concerns to go and die. I don't think that really affects anything and moves a whole lot of needles. You know, it's pretty much, so, you know, you get mad and in the heat of the moment, you want to reach out to them. So they give you that portal and that's supposed to pacify you. Because I have done that a bunch over the years and you just don't get a lot of reaction. And that's why I encourage a lot of people to try a social media strategy to reach out to a lot of these politicians, because you get, and I've talked about this before on other episodes of the show, of how now on some of these boards, they have so many people to them, you're actually getting more attention and more viewership than many of your local papers. I mean, I absolutely know that some of these big groups, you will get a lot more attention and a lot more views on things than you would if you had that same amount of information in the Lebanon Reporter. It's just by the numbers and the engagement on these things. I mean, I posted a video on one of the pages, I think Monday. And I mean, over the course of a couple of days, it got 1,400 views. And I mean, those are extremely large numbers for just and this was me poking around at just one of the absurdities that came from the last Lebanon City Council meeting. But and it's amazing, like that's just one thought, and so people can actually move so much more information, and we need to be using that. I mean, we need to be using these new powers that we have as citizens to get ourselves a better government. and to not keep just going down the same rabbit hole. And that gets us right back around to where I was with the Meadows on Main. This is just something the government decides they're going to push on people. And, you know, they try to put up a lot of roadblocks. They try to make it hard. But, you know, if you shine enough light on it, then maybe we can actually get a little media attention, because these are staggering numbers. And I want to really thank my friends out there in Whitestown for sharing some of this information with me, because I'm not, there's people in every segment of the problems we have going on that have far more information about it than I do. And I mean, I think that's one of the things that I found most appealing of the shop, is I can just use that platform to get that information out, because being around over the years, I mean, you've seen so many people that, you know, they had insider knowledge about this thing, or that, you know, and you're seeing that. So while I rarely give a whole lot of praise to the last editors of the Lebanon Reporter, I did see Rod Rose post one day they were talking about where a proposed reservoir would go in the county, and he did make a quip. He goes, the best place in Boone County to put a reservoir would be in the Eagle Creek watershed. And you know, he's probably right. And this was just a random quip by somebody, but that's probably somebody that, when all that was really being talked about, he was kind of in the know on it at that point in time. Because I took that, you know, pretty heavily there. Because every time you hear him talk about a reservoir, they always kind of bandy it around by up by Thorntown. But if you think about it, down there by the, you know, the Eagle Creek watershed on that far corner of the Zionsville, and that over there probably would hold water the best. That has the most water that flows through it. But pretty odd to see that bandied around there, because you don't hear that. And I wonder if you don't hear that because of, you know, who lives over that way, and what the status of the residents are, and who they would be disproportionately moving out of their way. So yeah, like I said, if you're an idea person and you got something, come on over to the shops page, post it up, and we can debate it, and we can have a conversation about it. And if I think your idea holds merit, I'll do my absolute best to get that information to whoever, because that is what I'm here for. That's what I'm doing. This is a complete public service on my end, is I just want to share the information. And, you know, having seen it, I know that so many of you guys out there have so much information to get out, but it's just hard to get a platform, and it's hard to get it. But the shop's here for you on that. So, and moving on from that, because I got a lot going on here, and I got a lot that I want to get to. I do want to give a couple updates on the 32 and 75 intersection. So I want to take this time to thank the Sheriff Tony Harris and Chief Mike Beard at the Boone County Sheriff's Department for trying to get this information and trying to help move the needle on this, because they care too. And you know, we're all here, and we're all witnessing the same problems, and hopefully we can finally get enough effort and enough visibility that we can start to lean on people, because this stuff's offensive. Like, it is crazy that NDOT is going to fight us on trying to keep the kids safe over here, but I just read that they're moving up the project date to finish up a road downtown so that the Taylor Swift fans can get out in and out easier. I mean, this is all about where everybody's priorities are, but the priorities never are with the regular normal people, and we all know that. But moving on, I did want to just say I wanted to thank the sheriff, and I wanted to thank the chief, because they went out there, and you know, after our conversations back and forth, they went and put the speed trailers, what it is, and it records all the data off the vehicles coming and going, and they put it a weak point in one direction to where it read the people traveling eastbound. And then they put it for another week to where it would read the people coming westbound. Now, understand that I got a little bit of summary on some of this data. And I mean, this is several pages of data, but I just kind of got the snapshot for you guys. And understand also that when we're talking about it, I think it's very safe to say that while this data is great, this speed trailer It has a warning system to it, so it flashes the blue and the red once the first vehicle sees it. So there is a little bit of an effect of it slowing down in the deterrent effect, which is great in probably a lot of the cases that it's used, but just to try to get 100% real accurate of how many people speed by, that it probably pushes it lower a little bit just because of the deterrent effect of the device itself. But I still think the numbers that we've seen out of it are still pretty shocking in a lot of ways. Because so on the I'm going to give you just the overview of this thing. So for the eastbound traffic, and it has a, which would be, you know, kind of over there on the side of Dover by the gas station, and it has a 40 mile an hour posted speed limit over there. And this is in a 1 week's time. It had 24,198 vehicles passed. Of those vehicles, 55% of them were speeding, but only 1.81% were excessive speeding, meaning 15 over. But that's still 437 instances in a week of somebody traveling through this intersection and through that part of town and then past the school at an excessive speed. Now, how they rate an excessive speed at 15 mile and over and then all the way up. Now, the max recorded speed on the eastbound was 110 mile an hour, which, oh my goodness, somebody was moving pretty quick right there in the Dover doing 110. They're lucky they're alive, because doing 110 clipping through that intersection is living wild by anybody's standard. So, and now I'm going to go on the westbound, which the westbound is on, honestly, it's much worse. And that's even, since you're going westbound, that's traveling from Lebanon towards the Crawfordsville, and that puts Western Boone High School on the right. So this is the lane closest to the kids as if they're pulling out. So of the traffic going westbound, and this is in a 30 mile an hour zone past the school, for 1 week there is 42,217 vehicles, and of those vehicles, 60.09% are speeding. Of those, 3.51% are excessive speeding, again meaning 15 mile an hour or over. And so that is a total of 1,482 instances in a week of somebody excessively speeding past the children's school right there. Now, I'm gonna do a little more deeper dive, because there's data in there that'll also tell you which day it is, so I might be able to track when the speeding's happening. And I got some other people that are looking at this stuff too. And I, again, another shout out to the Sheriff's Department. Both Beard and Harris offered to meet with me so we could go over these numbers. And as I get into them and digging through some of that, I might take them up on that. Now, just at the quick snapshot of it, I think I had a pretty good feel of what I was looking at. But, I mean, that's still a lot. I mean, when you're talking about 1,482 times that somebody's going to cook and pass the kid's school in a week. And then, now, on your westbound, top speed of 111 mile an hour. So, I mean, guys, we're all seeing these same things. I mean, I was randomly, we were having lunch over there in Advance, and I was talking with one of the employees, and they were talking about how they purposely avoid 32 just because of the traffic. And it's been a bad road, guys, for a long time. I mean, there's been a lot of fatalities out there on 32, just the whole stretch of it. And this insanity that NDOT is going to wait for 5 more years for it to get worse and worse and worse, putting all these kids lives in jeopardy, and they're going to wait that long before they do anything. But they can drop everything that they're doing, move it up, and fix the road in a hurry for the Swift fans. You know, I mean, come on, guys. But I'm going to keep following up with this. So I plan on reaching out to the superintendent at Western Boone this week, and maybe we can kind of go over some of the numbers. And maybe, like I said, once I get to digging into the numbers deeper, maybe I'll have some questions for the Sheriff's Department. And you know, maybe that's something that everybody needs to meet. Maybe we need to have a public meeting about it. We need to find some way to move these people up, because it's all an optics game with them. And if they, like I said, if they can ignore it, they will. And we have to make it to where it's something they can't ignore. And you know, why are they going up there, and why are they going to do this for the Swift things? Because it'll make a bad optics if everybody's stuck in traffic for a long time. So we have to. And oh my God, it's a little on the irritating side that you have to remind somebody in government that the optics of putting kids' lives in danger is pretty bad. You would think they would be like, oh, thanks for informing us. Now we're going to address this issue. But unfortunately, we all know better than that, and government's not very good in those regards. So moving on to something else real quick. And this is something that's been really chapping me, guys, is, and I'm going to call this hashtag Republican problems, because, man, we got like the Stop the Pipeline, the Stop the Leap Pipeline group. And I really like these people. They, you know, they do a lot of good in working against these projects, and we need that, and we can all agree this stuff's bad. But there's several people within this group that are they're very liberal people, and they're very cheerleading the Democrats, and I am absolutely not mad at them at all. I mean, if you had this week a Republican, and that's what I was getting at, is I am offended that I cannot defend the Republicans, because I see this stuff get posted, and you guys know me on the social issues. I mean, I'm having no part of a Democrat, guys. I cannot. The some of the things that they can say is okay go against my every fiber being of core value. So there's absolutely no way I can do it. But I'm sitting here, and they post this stuff, and I want to be able to say, oh no, we ain't gonna do that. That's you guys. But I can't. And I gotta say, it is one of the, and I've told you before, like I'm very likely gonna vote for Donald Rainwater unless old Mike Braun comes out and he has a full-blown epiphany and decides, you know, dismantling the IEDC is the way to go. And short of anything like that, I'm going to be voting for Donald Rainwater. But I have a horrible time telling everybody else to do the same, because I know that the reality is that Rainwater's pulling 8-10%, and to get him over the line is beyond the long shot. And if a lot of people go Rainwater, there's a very real possibility that a Democrat wins, which I really don't want to see. I mean, I've as conflicted of a Republican as I am, I have been a Republican for 25 years, because there was so much good in that, and it seems like they've been throwing out the good, and then keeping the stuff that we never really did like about them. And this brings me, so earlier this last week, I kind of came at the Republican Party locally pretty hard. You know, they had a freedom event, and then me, it instantly triggered that part of me that seeing my Republican Party here locally doing, you know, everything but that, because these big government projects, there's nothing freedom about it. There's nothing conservative about them. But I did have to remember that, and that's why, like this per event, this event was put on by one of the good guys, and I've been on that team for the last 25 years. It's the team conservatives are going to take over the Republican Party. And like I was telling other people, I mean, those are a lot of the people that I really align with the best, because that's how I feel, like, because that is your best chance for winning. Logically, the best chance of getting a good quality conservative government is to take over the Republican Party to do it. But it seems like they're very easily corruptible. So we think we get some in that are going to be halfway okay, and they instantly fold up like, you know, a cheap card table, throw us under the bus, put some dough in their pockets, and they rock out. And we keep getting this over and over and over. But I just wanted to share with you guys, because that's how I'm feeling in this whole conflicted thing. It's like, I can't really defend the local Republicans. I mean, Mike Braun, I can't, like, I like Micah, and I think Micah's actually solid, and it gives me some hope. But I also know that Mike Braun is allies with the people that are pushing these projects, and he's not going to stop them. I mean, unless it just becomes so politically toxic that he has to, he is not going to walk away from it. I mean, it has to be just an unbelievable level of political toxic before he's going to step away from this, because everybody else has came out, and the Democrats are reading the room too. I mean, that's why on the Stop the Leak pipeline, that's why they're able to keep promoting these Democrats in those circles. Because what they're doing, they just, you know, they all go and they ask the Democrats how they feel about these pipelines and these big government projects. And, you know, it's an easy answer for them right now. They just say they're against it since the Republicans are doing it. And it's an easy win, because there you're gaining traction and support by the Democrats that don't like it. And then you're also gaining traction and support from the middle of the roaders. Now, there's going to be the hard line like me that, you know, some of the social issues are far more than I could ever stomach to where I could pull a lever. I mean, I bring myself to not vote. Somebody else might get them in, but I there is no way I could do it. But I feel that way about Braun. I mean, I don't think I can vote. I can't bring myself to vote for somebody that I'm watching mow over, you know, rural conservative Hoosiers. And these are my friends and family. These are people I've known forever. And to watch it do it, I mean, I can have no part of it, guys. I just can't pull that lever for that. And, you know, we got a big week coming up. So this, what will be this next Tuesday, we actually have the October 15th city council meeting, where they are going to finally decide whether they're going to vote to, for this new, you know, water territory that's several miles, four miles plus outside of Lebanon, where they want to create this new water territory. So it pretty much puts the rubber stamp on them, on it, says it's theirs. And then people inside of this area would then be able to, you know, reach out and request, you know, for the public utilities from Lebanon, you know, that new Citizens Water they're banding around there. And now, and this also leads us right back to the same thing that I was talking about last week, is Mike Gentry, the mayor's dad, owns 15 acres right on the side of the LEAP development that's going to be incorporated in this new water territory. So he would potentially be able to request, you know, this city utilities, and then that property would be much easier to develop. And we all know that property that's easier to develop is worth more money. And they're going to tell you that it's not, and this and that. But even the, you know, like we talked last week, the council president, he really went with the so what. You know, lots of people might make a little money. So what? And like I said, I don't think that's the government that we need, and that ain't what it should be. But that's what we're getting. But so here coming up, we're going to be going to this meeting, and the city council members are Sierra Messenger, Robert Hawkins, Mike Kincaid, Keith Campbell, Sandra Jasianowski, Dick Robertson, and John Copeland, with Tanya Thayer as the clerk treasurer, and then Matt Gentry, the mayor, obviously. So what's going to be really entertaining here is we're going to watch all these people. And are all these people really going to vote for something that now there's open daylight on, that everybody can see is enriching the mayor's family? And it's against the will of the people. I mean, nobody has requested this. Nobody wanted this. This just lets them be able to develop more land easier. And it also happens to just make, you know, Mike Gentry's property easier to develop, even though the whole time Matt Gentry has been going around saying that his family's property isn't included in any of this, so they'll see no benefit. I mean, he's saying that since the very beginning, and then bam, right here, secret vote. And that's the other thing. And I told you guys about that. It didn't even get posted right for the first reading. So they got caught with their pants down, sitting there trying to blame a staffer for it not getting posted. And that's so typical. When they get caught, they just blame somebody else. But guys, I'm up against the clock here, and I don't want old Kevin to come down on me. So I'm just going to have to finish up, and I'll see you guys next week. You have a great Saturday. Have a great weekend. See you next week.